Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm going to read three verses this morning. Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 14, 15, and 16. the end of Maitreya's response to this set of questions. And the first two of Vidura's speaking after him relate to the process of realization of the message that sages give. How do we realize the message that sages give? It's one of those how-to questions that always comes up. So we heard about the covering capacity of the Lord's external energy, Maya. We heard about the mitigating process where the living entity fixes their mind and engages their senses fully in master of the senses, and by so doing the quivering effect of illusion subsides, and one can see properly and free from illusion, proper spiritual conception, and free from the sufferings that are naturally accompanying Maya and misconception and striving to be the Lord of all we survey. You heard about two different types of covering. Well, we heard two different types. The throwing and the covering potency, where the living entity abandons their spiritual conception and embraces a material conception by the agency of Maya. And then another division of two is trying to be the enjoyer of Prakriti. And then when that's frustrated, trying to become one with the Supreme. And Maitreya said that's quite unreasonable, gave his explanation. So now this concluding verse just sounds like a good old Srimad Bhagavatam verse. Even the Sanskrit is very nice, just hear the Sanskrit. Ashesha sankleśa samam vidadhe gunanuvada shravanam murade kim va apunas touch charanaravinda paraga sevaratir atma labdha. Ashesha sankleśa samam vidadhe. Simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc. of the Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? Did you know that the dust of the Lord's lotus feet has flavor? Would you like to know what that flavor is? Well, you have to do nice sadhana before you can get there. Ashesha Sanklesha. We know what Ashesha means. It's unlimited. And we know what kleshas are. That's misery. Unlimited Sanklesha. Completely miserable. Ashesha Sanklesha. Vidhate. Completely stopped. By Gunanuvada, the transcendental name, form, pastimes, qualities, activities of the personality of Godhead, Shravanam and Kirtanam, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, it's automatically accomplished. All these, because it draws one's attention from the quivering and places one's attention on the moon, the actual object, Krishna, by sound vibration, by that hearing and chanting. And so, unlimited, whatever, there's no limit to the amount of difficulty caused by misidentification with matter and trying to be the enjoyer of matter and all that business. This process of hearing and chanting is very powerful. And chanting about whom? Murari, the personality of Godhead, Krishna. Murari. What to speak of? So going beyond the activity of what we're doing right now, hearing and chanting, what to speak of someone who has actually developed an attraction, rati, paraga seva ratir. They have a rati for serving the flavorful dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Atma labdha. So there's the self-abandonment, and now here's the self-attainment or self-achievement. Self-realization is included. Restoring a spiritual conception of oneself is included in the when it's taken up properly, the process of hearing and chanting. So we're going to hear the next verse as well, where Vidura is describing that proper hearing. So in the purport, Prabhupada discusses the process of gyan and the process of bhakti. Traditionally, within the Vedic system, there's process of yoga also, the process of karma, but for achieving liberation, cessation of material suffering, commonly there are these two, gyan and bhakti. And already discussed in gyan, the attempt is to restrain the senses, like anesthetize the senses. But they're active because the soul is active. So it's insufficient. It's inadequate. So one can philosophize that one has become liberated. But it's not the liberated position without factually taking shelter of the soul's constitutional position of being a servant. Of these two most popular methods, the path of devotional service is recommended here as the best. Because on the path of devotional service, one does not have to wait for the attainment of fruitive results of pious activities or for the results of knowledge. That is to say, at once. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita where when it once attains that the position of devotional service, one attains the level of Brahman. What is that verse? Translation? We'll make it. Yeah. And it once comes to the level of Brahman. So when Ramananda Roy suggests this verse, Lord Chaitanya says it's external. Because he says it's Gyan Mishra Bhakti. Knowledge of the personality of Godhead, not just engaging in something, but so the prerequisite of knowledge, so how do you have a prerequisite of knowledge before devotional service? It's speculative knowledge or theoretical knowledge only. And we know, we've seen it, people can take that up and give it up too. But bhakti isn't dependent. There's no prerequisite knowledge or prerequisite karma for bhakti. When it's done properly, it's simply the activity of hearing and chanting, and at once that spiritual position, awakening of spiritual knowledge, the awakening of knowledge and detachment arise. We discussed this yesterday. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayodhyataha Janiyati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayadahaitukam. Causeless knowledge and detachment awaken through just the process of bhakti. So you don't have to be a big scholar, you don't have to be a big pious, fruitive performer. As Prabhupada says, one doesn't have to wait for the fruits of those things. One can at once take up the process. It's better because it's simple and direct. And one gets Krishna's special help too. Just like Krishna describes in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna wants to know of the two forms of worshipping you, which is better? Worship of your impersonal, worship of your personal feature. And Krishna is very clear, of the two, the devotional service is better. Because it's natural, and the other is very unnatural, and that which is very unnatural, it's very difficult. He describes how difficult it is. And the second is that when you engage in devotional service, you have Krishna's help. So the math is easy. Which is stronger? Your effort or your effort plus Krishna's help? Real easy math. Therefore, in the bhakti process, one is depending upon Krishna, it's better. And back to the first one, it's natural. So, in this purport, the two are being compared, and the process of bhakti is better, or even comparatively, it's best, just like the process of yoga. In the end of the 6th chapter, Krishna says, by all means, become a yogi. Of the different processes, become a yogi, and of all processes of yoga, there's the best. Shradhavan bhajate yo mam. That's the best. Devotional service, that's performed with faith. Continuing with the purport. The two stages, there's stages of executing devotional service. So devotional service in practice. That's what we're doing. First, the stage of practicing devotional service with our present senses under the regulations of the recognized scriptures. And the second, later he gives the term raga bhakti, or the language of nectar of devotion is raga nuga bhakti. In short, it's raga bhakti, where here's how he characterizes it in the purport. Attaining sincere attachment. And repeats that phrase two more times. Sincere attachment. For serving the particles of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. I mean, that's humble. Not just serving the Lord or just serving his lotus feet, but serving the particles of dust of his lotus feet. But that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching also. Let me just become like that. Or even the worshiping the particles of dust of the pure devotee of the Lord. Remember yesterday I was mentioning Ter Kadamba, where Rupa Goswami was writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There are some deities. You go, it's a grove of trees, and you go inside the grove of trees, and there's a little bhajan kutir where Rupa Goswami would stay and do his writing. And inside the bhajan kutir, there's some deities. There's deities of Krishna Balaram. And just above the door, the altar door, it's a little small altar, much smaller than the space is very small. There's a verse written by Raghunath Das Goswami in Sanskrit. And the verse is Raghunath praying to Krishna that he can take birth after birth, puna, and just have the dust of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami placed upon his head. That's his prayer to Krishna. Please allow me to have that position where I can, birth after birth, take the dust of the lotus feet. Stitadhuli of Rupa Goswami and place that dust upon my head. It wasn't even the dust of Krishna's feet, the dust of Rupa Goswami's feet. This is Raga Mark. And where it's not just a nice expression, that there's sincere attachment for that attainment. So then Prabhupada repeats, there's the sadhana stage, devotional service for the neophyte, which is rendered under the direction of the pure devotee, and the second stage, in which the mature devotee automatically takes to the various services of the Lord out of sincere attachment. So it's spontaneous. That's the language of nectar devotion also, spontaneous devotional service. There's chapters describing that. That's this raga stage or raga nuga stage. And how does it happen that one can come to that second stage? By practicing the first stage nicely. There's not something else you have to do. You don't need to go to Radhakund and get some special something, as some people think that's needed. It's not so. By practicing sadhana bhakti, one may gradually rise to the point of raga bhakti, and by performing raga bhakti in devotional, in loving transcendental service, one can even control the supreme powerful Lord. It's not like, that's my ambition is to control Krishna. That's not raga bhakti. But when there's love, one doesn't want to control the beloved, but because there's love, the beloved is moved by the love of the beloved. It happens in a spontaneous, transcendental way. It's that spontaneous, transcendental loving service. It's so powerful. So now go back to what the verse is saying. Just the hearing, gunanuvada. Guna, anuvada. The qualities of the personality of Godhead, his activities, his fame, name, abode, pastimes, form, all these things, it's very, very powerful. One doesn't need a separate something to get rid of the miseries of material existence. and the misconceptions of material existence and the mood of trying to be the enjoyer that comprises material existence. All of that is lifted. The potency is there to completely eradicate all of that, unlimited amounts of it. What to speak of the Raga Bhakti stage, where one, that state of humility that's so strong, that the attachment is so strong to the personality of Godhead and his devotees, and simply wishing to worship and serve the lotus feet, particles of their lotus feet, the fragrant particles of their lotus feet, with sincere attachment. Three times in the purport, sincere attachment. So that ends Maitreya's response to Vidura's very profound and deep questions. And then Vidura speaks a few verses. I'm just going to cover two of them. Vidura said, "O powerful sage, my Lord, all my doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them." So it's both images are appropriate. They have entered into my heart, or my mind has entered completely into those messages. It's inseparable, fully assimilated. This is the process of how to hear. We hear with such faith and attention and absorption that when those messages here are heard, all material existence is gone. One very nice example of this that comes to mind is when Bhishma Dev, Duryodhan wanted to kill Bhishma Dev. He had a plan. Poison him. So he cooked up the whole plan and he told it to Duryodhana, to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra said, "No, you can't do this. Pandu was my younger brother when I was blind and he was younger than me. He took care of me. Like, he's the older brother and I'm the younger brother, although I was the older brother and he was the younger brother. Because I was blind, he took care of me in every way. We didn't have a father. He was like my father, my elder brother, my everything. And you want to kill his son? No. Unthinkable." And very cleverly, Duryodhan, because his father is blind, he began huffing and puffing and saying, "If Bhima remains..." "If Bhima remains alive, then I will give up my life. I can't bear being in the presence on the same planet with..." Not Bhishma Dev, Bhima. The plan was to kill Bhima. "You don't have to say anything. Just remain silent. We're going to poison him. There's a country home. And we'll go for the purpose of sporting, and he'll throw us all over the place like he always does because he's so powerful, and then we'll sit down and have lunch and I'll poison him. Don't worry, Father. You won't be implicated at all. Just remain silent." And he remained silent. Because he was so attached to his son, he couldn't bear the thought of his son harming himself. So he just remained silent. And after they're sporting in the river, they went to the side of the river bank, and they were having their meal, and he put enough poison to kill 30 men. And Bhima just was eating away. Wow, this is good. I need 10 times more. I'm hungry. He kept eating and eating, and he dozed off after eating so much. Maybe the poison had some effect too. And everybody left, went back to the palace, and Duryodhan tied him up in rope and pushed him in the river. He would drown. But his body was then bitten by the Nagas, and by their poisonous Nagas, but their poison was the antidote to that very poison he was given. And so when they took him to the Naga Loka, and when Bhima woke up, he was tied up with all these ropes, and he just went like Hanuman, just burst all the ropes. And the Nagas looked at this person that just burst all the ropes, and they went to the head Naga and said, what do we do with this? So while Bhima was gone enjoying Nagaloka, the Pandavas came back, and Mother Kunti saw Bhima's missing. She's the mother, so she's, mothers get anxious about their missing son. So she went right away to Vidura to consult with Vidura. What do I do? Do you know what's happened? Can you give some advice? And Vidura said, Kunti, do you remember when Vyasadeva pronounced that your sons, when they were born, that they would live a long life and they would rule the kingdom? You remember that? So don't worry. Vyasadeva's word can't be wrong. He's okay. Wherever he is, he's okay. And just by hearing that, immediately her anxiety was dispelled. She didn't like stop being a mother, but she felt so consoled, so pacified, just by hearing the words of Vidura. And sure enough, Bhima came back, told the whole story, what had happened. Now they knew what the circumstance was, that Duryodhan was capable of most abominable things. Bhima wanted to, go pounce on him right away. And Yudhisthira said, no, this isn't the right time. We've just come back from being in the forest with our father for so long. And all the alliances and all of the friendships and everything is in the hands of the Kauravas, of Duryodhana and his brothers. So we have to lay low for the time being. Just be very, very careful. So hearing has that capacity if one has deep regard and respect for the person one is hearing from, at once it can act. And Vidura had that regard for Maitreya. Rightly so, too. So his mind, the languages, his mind perfectly entered into the words. Here's the purport. Short. The science of Krishna, or the science of God and living entities, is so subtle that even a personality like Vidura has to consult persons like the sage Maitreya. Doubts about the eternal relationship of the Lord and living entity are created by mental speculators in different ways, but the conclusive fact is that the relationship of God and living entity is one of the predominator and predominated. The Lord is the eternal predominator, and the living entities are eternally predominated. real knowledge of this relationship entails reviving the lost consciousness to this standard, and the process for such revival is devotional service, beginning with what was mentioned in the previous verse, Shravanam, hearing. By clearly understanding from authorities like the sage Maitreya, one can become situated in real knowledge, and the disturbed mind can thus be fixed on the progressive path. It requires hearing. For hearing to happen, it requires a receiver, and it requires a broadcaster, and then active listening, not passive listening, active listening. And when that happens, the mind can become pacified. The mind becomes released from misconceptions and anxieties and this quivering thing, and can become completely absorbed if one hears in the right qualitative way. Text 16, O learned sage, by your explanations, are very good, as they should be. Disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord. I'll read the sentence again. Disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord. So if you've withdrawn your attention from the external energy of the Lord by placing the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental name, form, qualities, etc., the disturbances are gone. Not like the material energy is gone, but its acting in a disturbing way is gone. It's a question of consciousness. And the question of consciousness is based upon where your attention goes. Your attention goes to the process of hearing, your consciousness will be fixed. At least that's the formula. That's the medicine. Take the medicine. Take the medicine regularly, and gradually that absorption takes place and unlimited misery is dismissed. And the purport summarizes the same messages that we've been hearing. There are these two types of misery. One is trying to be the enjoyer of Prakriti, and the other is born of frustration, trying to be God. And both are illusion. Both are miserable, because the real happiness of serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we've neglected it. That's miserable. It's an unhappy position by nature. It's not our nature. We're not God. We're not the enjoyer of matter. We're not the Supreme Brahman. Our nature is we're the servant. We act in a healthy way. The soul's natural happiness is restored. Just a little anecdote. I went for medical checkup, just a routine thing. There's not some problem, but I guess it was the doctor's assistant. She wasn't more than a nurse. She was a doctor, but assisting the doctor, the main doctor, main physician. So she was going through my, they call it the vitals, your statistics and the blood pressure and temperature and all that stuff. And she said, may I ask how old are you? I gave her my age. She said, no. You look like you're 40, or in the 40s maybe. But, you're not that old. I said, tell me the truth. Yeah, it's my age. She came back later and asked the same question. Are you pulling my leg, or is that your age? what's your secret? Krishna consciousness. That's my secret. Just, I don't know, like lead a pure life and chant Hare Krishna, and that's all. Because most people don't do either of those two things. So in that disturbed state of mind, the body deteriorates more quickly. Okay, it's Sunday morning and the mantras are being chanted. Let's see if there's any comments or questions from this morning's discussion. Yes?
We know we are supposed to be in a certain standard of heart, like a sincere attachment. We are just thinking about the quality of hearing.
Yes, yeah.
So when a devotee does not have that, and he knows that's what should be there, a certain uneasiness or misery that one goes through, what category does this kind of an experience fall into?
It's similar to your question yesterday, and it depends on how you take it. I mean, in other words, it can be a prompt that says I should be more attentive. And it can be a prompt to go into a state of lamentation. Circumstances can be elevating, or certain circumstances can be degrading. Depends on how you regard them. The seat of consciousness with which you regard what's happening. You know, things are coming, you're moving along the path of life, and things come. It just happens. That's what life is. And how you regard those things depends on whether they're uplifting or degrading. Of consciousness. When one becomes, just I'll elaborate, since we're not getting lots of questions these days. Humility is a natural byproduct or outcome of engaging in devotional service. One realizes lots of things. One realizes all these impurities that I didn't even recognize that I had before. Look at all these impurities. That's one kind of prompt for humility. Another is you try to do service nicely and please other devotees and please Krishna. You know, like try to chant attentively and it's not happening. There's like lots of opportunity for humility. So now when you get those realizations that are prompts for humility, you can go into a tailspin. Oh. Become morose. Like take shelter of the mode of ignorance and lamentation. Or it can be an impetus that says, wow, I have to redouble my efforts. I have to become more sincere. There are so many devotees that are so advanced. There's another one. And I'm, you know, so less advanced. So my effort needs to be twice, three times what an ordinary devotee is because I'm so meager. It's impetus rather than becoming discouraged. And our business is not to compare ourselves to other devotees anyways. It's a whole other thing. But the miseries, back to your question, the miseries that come from devotional services imperfectly performed, Krishna gives us a little reminder that we should be more attentive. So be more attentive. It's an impetus. It's Krishna's reciprocation. Very nice. You know, take for example, devotees chanting and falling asleep. And another devotee is like debating, should I wake the other devotee who's falling asleep, or, you know. So they venture forth and, like, very gently, the devotee's like, I'm falling asleep. You know, how do you take assistance from other Vaishnavas? What's the disposition of heart is? It was spoken earlier where he and Maitreya, he was saying, I'm bewildered. And Maitreya also apparently was bewildered. So I discussed this. The way I discussed it was by saying that advanced devotees are not exhibiting their advancement. They're concealing their advancement. They're not, like, pretending, but they're not showing off either. He's speaking in a humble way, because he's genuinely feeling that, and that's part of. It's not just a cover up. It's the feeling of an elevated personality. But in addition to that, one can say, Vidura was very advanced. He was very dear to Krishna, and very advanced in knowledge. And as you say, you know, an incarnation of Yamaraj. But, you know, in the association of an elevated personality like Maitreya, who has just heard Krishna speak Uddhava Gita, you know, it's like touching a live wire. Wow, you're high voltage. That's what he's saying. That's the effect of association. Anything else? Yes? You're asking, that's your question? What's the difference between? It's like the difference between standing in a shower and just standing there waiting till your body becomes clean, and, you know, making your body clean. One is passive and the other is active. And so active listening is where, using Prabhupada's language, one is scrutinizingly hearing. What's the message? Receiving actively. It's like kirtan. You can just kind of like stand there, be in the kirtan, and it's having some effect because you're standing there being in the kirtan, or hearing very carefully the sound vibration. And as you're speaking the sound vibration, speaking it with clarity and with feeling, that's active. The other's passive. They're qualitatively different. From our internal consciousness point of view. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.